But anyway, we're glad to see each other here. We're glad you're here to worship God this morning in spirit and in truth. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to deal primarily with that 57th verse. That's 1 Corinthians 15, what we refer to as the resurrection chapter. Good chapter to read and read and read again. Where Paul in that 57th verse, though, talks about victory. Victory that is only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Victory was the subject of this verse and the verse following was very important for the church at Corinth. If there was anything they needed to have, it was victory in their life, because there'd been some lack of success in many of their endeavors thus far in their short Christian life. Paul had determined that there were divisions going on among them, that they were having problems of immorality, they were having difficulties of going to law against a brother, they couldn't find anyone. Paul chastised them, said, couldn't you find somebody, you know, there that was smart enough to decide a matter between brothers? And they had other difficulties concerning the Lord's Supper and the various spiritual gifts that they had at the time. There was envy and pride. But here in this verse, as Paul nears the end of this letter, he tells them that we have victory in Jesus, and thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. In Paul's writing, Paul writes many times of athletic events. We know that in athletic events, for the most part at least, there's only one who is victorious, or a team who is victorious. And Paul has some things to say about that. There's a couple of scriptures I want to, one that Paul definitely wrote, another he may have written. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says this, as they that run in a race run all, but one receives the prize, even so run that you may obtain. Talking about the Christian life, comparing it to a race. Because this race, this life that we're living is not run on an athletic field. We are to run with patience, the Hebrew writer said. Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, or the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12:1-2. In Galatians 3:26-27, the Apostle Paul spoke of those who were winners in the spiritual arena of life, though they were the ones who were in Christ. He said, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Then in Romans 8:37, concerning being victorious in the Christian life, Paul boldly declares to the church at Rome, says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. In fact, I'm going to turn to Romans 8 and read beginning in verse 33 as he speaks of that. Romans 8, beginning with verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? There were going to be difficulties for the Christians of the first century, just as there are difficulties for us today. Maybe not difficulties as such, keeping us from being a Christian or becoming a Christian, but difficulties that we face as a Christian, trying to rationalize, well, why are we having to face this? Because we're Christians. And Paul said, nothing can separate you from God. Don't allow these things to separate you. As it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Look at what they had to go through. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Remember, Paul said to the church at Philippi, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul always emphasizes the need to be with Christ, in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, with Christ. The need of Christ. I am persuaded, verse 35 of Romans 8, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't it amazing? He wrote this letter to the church at Rome. In a few years, he'd wind up in a Roman prison. Maybe he would remember these words. No powers shall separate us. Powers that be had him at that time. But they never did separate him from the love of Jesus. I cannot do it alone. The waves run fast and high. And the fogs close all around. The light goes out in the sky, but I know that we too shall win in the end, Jesus and I. I could not guide it by myself, my boat on life's wild sea. There's one who sits by my side, who pulls and steers with me. And I know that we too shall safe enter port, Jesus and I. And again we say with Paul, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate the singing earlier of Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. We sing that song a lot. We need to think about the words. Think about the meaning for each and every one of us. What kind of victory do we have in Jesus? Well, we have a victory over guilt of sin. The problem that people have the world over is sin. It's our greatest problem. You know, when I went off to Texas, had a lot of things in common with those people. A lot of things I didn't have in common with them. But one thing we did have in common with them, we all sinned. Fall short of the glory of God. Went to Florida. They did a whole lot of sinning down there too. Went to Montana. They were more reserved in their sinning, you know. That's their culture, but they sinned too. They had a need of what God and Christ Jesus had to offer for them. Success in business, success in athletics, success in politics, success in any venture that you may go into, they're all meaningless unless we have victory over sin. A lot of people carry around, continue to carry around the guilt of sin. Some of them need to, because they've never had the blood of Jesus to take away that sin. Those sins have not been washed away. So they need to feel that guilt. John 8:34 speaks of habitual sinners as being the slaves or the bond servants of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And we may not look at it that way, but that's the way the Bible explains it. If you really get down to the bottom line, so to speak, that's what's going on. God says you're either with me or you're against me. As James was talking about, we're enemies with God or we're friends with God. We're saying, what a friend we have in Jesus. If we're not, Jesus is not our friend. If we're not friends with Jesus, we're enemies of Jesus. There's no other camp to be in, though people seek to find that camp to settle down into a comfortable position. It's not there. Romans 6:16-18, Paul writes to those who in times past were servants of sin, he says. He says, but now you're servants of righteousness. He says, and there's a great difference, isn't it? Difference between night and day. In fact, sin is often depicted as night. And being in Jesus or being righteous is light or the daytime. The Bible teaches, I mentioned earlier, that sin separates from God, Isaiah 59:1-2, and that all of sin, Romans 8:23. The wages of sin, Paul says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But that's not the end of that verse. He goes on to say, but the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And those who have that gift have victory, don't they? Because of God's great love for us, John says, and quotes Jesus in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The reason Jesus came, Luke 19:10, was to seek and to save the lost. There is a group of people, a very large group of people called the lost. They're treading down a way that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount calls a broad way. It's a broad way because few there be that enter therein therein and go that way. The other way is a narrow way. I read somewhere recently that those of us who feel that we have hope in Jesus Christ, or who do have hope in Jesus Christ, and have the hope of heaven, feel so good that there's such a broad way and categorize as many people as we can as going down that way. Jesus spoke the gospel, and he said that these apostles and that others who would follow him should go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. Not those who would later call themselves members of the churches of Christ, and just those who would become Christians by being in a particular earthly family. So we need not look down upon anyone as being beyond the reach of Jesus, as being beyond the reach of the blood of Christ. And feel good that we're not in that camp. We should feel bad that they are. We should not compromise and think, well, it's no use teaching anybody else. You know, they're doing what they want to do. You know, they're smart as I am. They got had the same opportunities that I had. Maybe not. Everybody needs to be taught. Jesus went to the cross not simply because the Jews of his day wanted to get rid of him, not because Pilate washed his hands of the whole affair, but because Jesus had that as his to do. It was God's will that that be done. And it was Jesus' will that that be done after he won the battle in the Garden of Gethsemane in his prayer to God. Now they, at the cross, and earlier they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But God's love from the cross cried down to the people at the foot of the cross, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that attitude of forgiveness is an attitude that should permeate the church throughout the years, down to now and throughout the years to come. Revelation 1 and 5, it says, "By the blood of Christ, he's washed us from our sins." So even though we've sinned, even though we have that stain in our lives, so we, because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his sacrifice on the cross being acceptable to God as a substitute on our behalf, our sins are forgiven. If we come to him in obedience, in faith, repentance, we're baptized in obedience to his will. And then, once we become a Christian, we repent of our sins, we confess our sins, either one to another, we confess them to God, repenting of those sins, begging for forgiveness. Victory in Jesus. Victory over the guilt of sin. But what about victory over the practice of sin? Is there a difference? Victory over sin is not complete when we're washed in the blood of Christ to become Christians. It's not just an easy road after that. Jesus had just been baptized by John for reasons other than why we're baptized. He had no sin. But it was at that point that the devil chose to tempt him as he went into the wilderness, and as he was fasting, that added to the situation of the opportunity. And Satan chose that time. Satan would choose the time too when we feel less vulnerable, when we feel that we're riding high, when we feel that everything is okay. That's when Satan can attack, and we need to beware of him. Peter points out that he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. I'm not sure we think about it like that. I'm not sure. I know Jerry had a sermon on hell here the other night. I'm not sure we want to hear those subjects sometimes. But Jesus spoke on that, the subject of hell, about Satan just about as many times he spoke about baptism, some of the other subjects. He spoke about love probably far more frequently. First, in 2 Corinthians 5:15, the Bible teaches us that Jesus died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. So there's something for us to do. I know I had a tract or a little book that said, "After baptism, what then?" Well, there's a lot to say to what then. We were going to turn to Romans 12 in our Bible class this morning and didn't get there, but we'll get there right now. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul is talking to individuals who are Christians. Now, we've already had sacrifice made for us. Why were we yet sinners? Like he said back in Romans chapter 5, Christ died for us. He says, I beseech you, I beg of you, I entreat you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. When have you had your mind renewed? You say, I got a good mind. Yeah, I got a good mind to tell you. No. We may have a good mind, but we need to have it renewed. As you get older, in fact, they indicate to you, you need to work on puzzles, you need to work doing this, and after you retire from your job, so don't retire too early. Number one, you're going to need the money, and number two, you're going to need to renew your mind, because if you don't use it, you lose it. Losing your mind, that's right. Losing your ability to use your mind. But to renew it, and he said, renew it by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, that's not just going out and doing puzzles, though, is it? It's renewing it by knowing more of God's will and by seeking to put it in practice and getting keener on these ideas of what's right and what's wrong. But not only that, doing something about it. Making decisions based upon that decision of what's right and wrong. Retraining our conscience. That old thing of let your conscience be your guide. Your conscience is going to be your guide. I mean, we can read and study the Bible till we're blue in the face, and we probably need to. But it's got to become part of our thinking. It's got to become part of the renewing of our mind before we're led to do anything and act upon what we're reading and what we're studying. So there's a daily constant striving to transform the mind, our thinking. And Paul put it this way in Philippians 2:5, which I repeat many, many times. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You get the mind of Christ, and you have to renew your mind to get there. As to the Colossians, Paul said that they need to set their affections or set their mind on things above. On things above. Used to have a statement that, you know, get your mind out of the gutter. When you work, somebody's telling a joke or taking something wrong. Get your mind out of the gutter. Well, it doesn't need to be down there. That's a kind of a low-down mind down there in the gutter. Need it on the higher ground. Need it on the higher ground. Now, as we Christians, what is it that helps us in taking care of the practice of sin? Our sins that we commit after we become a Christian. 1 John 1, verse 7. 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Keeps on cleansing us from all sin. But you need to read the next verse or two in 1 John and then read chapter 2. These first part of chapter 2 of 1 John. Well, as you're doing that, go ahead and read 3, 4, and 5, 2 John, 3 John. Read all of what John has to say about the truth, about love, and about sin. To Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1, 12, Paul spoke with some assurance, didn't he? He had this continual cleansing, this He knew that the blood of Christ continually cleansed him from all sin. He said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He said, I have assurance. 1 Corinthians 10:13. What helps us when we sin, when we're tempted to sin? God says there in His Word, He will with temptation also make the way of escape, that we may be able to bear it, or, as one translation says, to endure it. When we sin, I mentioned to go into 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1 of 1 John chapter 2 says that we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate. We have a gospel advocate out there. Jesus is our gospel advocate. He is our godly advocate. He is our advocate in prayer. We go through Him to get to God. If you're up on the book of Hebrews and discussion there of the old law and how the priestly system was discontinued with Christ stepping into the place of that high priest, that He's now in the most holy place in heaven. In heaven, and He is our representative, just as the high priest sought to represent the Jews in their sacrifices before God in the holy place on earth. But it's a far better sacrifice. Victory over the practice of sin. Victory in Jesus. Victory over troubles in life. We all have difficulty. We weren't promised when we became a Christian that we would have freedom from cares. That we would have freedom from trials. We would have freedom from troubles. But there is a promise of God's care and God's concern. In pain, in agony, Job said, man that's born a woman is a few days in full trouble. We have to read the whole book to get the whole picture about Job, though, don't we? Job 14:1. And yet, throughout all his trials by Satan and his seven, quote, friends and his very helpful wife, he did not forsake God. His wife had told him, you curse God and die. Job, you're just suffering so much. But he didn't. Let's look at Psalm 142. David had run-ins with Saul. This is thought to have been in a time when he did have a run-in with Saul. But he had run-ins with others, so it could have been at other times. Listen to what's going on within the heart, within the mind of the psalmist, and see how he works it out. A lot of times it's not the problems that we have in our life, it's whether we're working them out. And we're working them out in a godly fashion. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why is this going on in my life? I didn't need this now. One thing right on another. I've heard people say, you know, seems like it comes in threes. Well, I got news for you. It can come in fours. It can come in fives. I'm just barely able to handle where I am. And I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? There are going to be times you're going to feel overwhelmed if you hadn't felt overwhelmed before. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk, have they secretly or privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld that there was no man that would know me. Nobody would even say, I know David, I'll help him. I know Jim, I know what he's going through. Sometimes there's no one that knows no one on earth that knows what we're going through. No man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Here the man is ready to jump off the nearest bridge. Or jump out a window of a tall building like they did in the recession. Verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, and that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. What a friend we have in Jesus with saints. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is. But sometimes we don't go to Him in prayer when we need to. Illness is weakness. Friends betray us. Death brings sorrow. And it brings other problems that we have to face sometimes. And we feel, as David felt sometimes, we feel overwhelmed. But God promises, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And after talking about humbling ourselves before God, Peter says you can cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Victory in Jesus. A very pointed question was asked by one of the persecutors, or one of those who persecuted Job, is one of his followers. He asked Job, he said, if a man should die, should he live again? And this has been a constant concern of man throughout the years. After death, then what? We read Matthew, we read Mark, we read Luke, we read John, we see about the life, the teachings, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. The one who shed his blood upon the cross for me also was raised from that grave that he was placed in by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, that barred tomb, and he was raised on the third day for me. And there was a reason, more than one reason. Hebrews 2:15 says he died to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. There's assurance given to the early Christians by Paul. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep or that have died in Jesus, God will bring with him. We have that promise. In verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And we need to know where those words are sometimes when we need that comfort. So we need to study the Bible more. Because those times when we're overwhelmed, but there may be a verse that we can do like David did. Thy word have I hid in my heart, he said, that I might not sin against thee. And we can say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not be so completely overwhelmed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I learn in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus' resurrection is a pledge of ours. Jesus was raised by the power of God, and by that same power we one day will be raised from the dead. Read 1 Corinthians 15 again and again and again. Death is swallowed up in victory. We read this initially. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Paul said to those Christians at Corinth, you need to get stronger. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we can have victory in Jesus. Are you here this morning in a Christian? Are you here this morning in out of Christ? Today is the day of salvation. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. Let's not do as I do sometimes. Do like I said to my kids, do as I say do. We need to set that example though, don't we? But we need to begin to do. Jesus began both to do and to teach. We need to follow that example. We do a lot of teaching, a lot of times we do a lot of learning from God's, or gain a lot of knowledge from God's Word. Sometimes we fail to act on it with urgency. If we're outside of Christ, and we know that as this very moment, if Jesus would come again, we'd be lost. We need to do something about that. We need to get that right. Well, I can do it tomorrow. I don't know you can't. You ask me, can I do it tomorrow, Jim? I can't tell you you can. There's going to be some people on this earth not going to be on this earth tomorrow. As far as their soul being with their body. There's going to be some people using funeral homes like the one that Ellis has up on the street there. On those roads. Where Bob and Connie are. We have victory over the guilt of sin. Victory over the practice of sin. Through Jesus. We have victory over the troubles of life. We'll have the troubles. But we have his promise. That he cares for us. Paul wrote just before his death, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth has laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only. Not for me only. Here's a portion of a poem. We'll close with that, entitled If. If you can pray when Satan darts are strongest and take the road of faith, not sight, or walk with God even though his way is longest and swerve not to the left nor to the right. If you desire him alone to fill you, for him alone you live and care to be. Then 'tis not you, but Christ who dwelleth in you. And that, O child of God, is victory. It's victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning is subject to the gospel invitation. If you're not a Christian, why not come to Christ this morning? If you are a Christian, need our prayers, which is to rededicate your life to Christ. You can do this with that this morning as we stand and sing. Shall we stand?